Stay tuned as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses the Hebrew names of God today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, our speaker is Dr. Gary Hedrick, and his subject is the Hebrew names of God. What do these names mean? What do they tell us about God? And how do his names relate to each of us personally? I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now, with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of the program. It's good to have you with us today as we continue our series of studies dealing with the Hebrew names of God. We've been talking about the names of God that include El, E-L. We're going to finish these so we can move on to the names that include Elohim and Yahavah, or YHVH. Now, we've already covered the main names that include El, so we're just kind of running through the rest of them so you'll know what they are. There are 24 of the El constructs, as we call them, and we've already done the first 13, so today we're starting with number 14, which is El Deot. It means God who knows, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "For the Lord is a God of knowledge. He is El Deot, and by him actions are weighed." So he is the God who knows. It's almost like an incomplete sentence, isn't it? God who knows what? What does he know? It just says he is the God who knows. The reason it doesn't finish the sentence is that there is no way to finish the sentence, because God knows everything. In Christian theology, we call this his attribute of omniscience. He is all-knowing. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, who better to talk about the God who knows than Hannah, or Hannah, the mother of Samuel? She saw the Lord take an impossible situation and turn it around for her. He knew Hannah. He knew her predicament. He knew how she felt. And he knew what to do about it. So she calls him the God who knows. And he knows your predicament too, my friend. He knows you. He knows how you are feeling. He knows what is wrong. And he knows how to make it all right. Because he is El Deot, the God who knows. Number 15. Psalm 31, verse 5 says he is El Emet, or the God of truth. It says, "Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Isn't it good to know in this age of moral decay and moral relativism? Isn't it good to know that there are still absolutes? Isn't it good to know that there is still a standard of truth and righteousness that never changes? What did Jesus say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the truth. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he said, "The reason I came into this world was to tell people the truth." And then one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible is John 18:38. Pilate looks at Jesus and he says, "What is truth?" Pilate is looking truth in the eye and he doesn't even know it. Now, is that sad or what? So again, we have a name of God that has a direct connection to Jesus Christ. He is El Emet, the God of truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Then number 16 is El Yeshuati, which means God of my salvation. You might recognize the Hebrew name for Jesus, Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation. Yeshuati has the pronominal suffix at the end, E. So it is not just salvation, but my salvation. Have you noticed as we've gone through this study how he is always trying to make things personal? God wants you, my friend, not your mother or your brother or your neighbor, but you. So Yeshua is the Hebrew or Aramaic name of Jesus. His name was Yeshua, not Jesus. If you had walked into Nazareth in about 10 BC or so, when he was a teenager, and you asked for directions to the house of Jesus Christ, no one would have known what you were talking about. They would have said, "We don't know any Jesus Christ." But if you had said, "I wonder if you could tell me where I could find Yeshua ben Yosef, Yeshua son of Joseph," then they would have known who you were talking about. "Oh, yes, that's the son of Yosef and Miriam. They are builders here in Nazareth. We can show you where they live." Now, is there anything wrong with calling him Jesus? Certainly not. Since Jesus is the English equivalent of the Hebrew Yeshua, calling him by his English name is perfectly appropriate. The gospel is, after all, transcultural. It's not confined to any one language or any one culture. The Lord has many names in many languages. Jesus Christ in English. Jesucristo in Spanish. Jesus Christus in Russian. Whatever language you use, he's still the same person. And that is what is most important. But his original name, and the name by which they knew him when he was here, and the name by which they will know him when he returns, is Yeshua. It means salvation. You say, "What do you mean that's the name they will know him by when he returns?" Aha, that means you haven't been listening for very long, or you'd know the answer to that question. It's very simple. At the end of the Great Tribulation, Zechariah 13:9 says that the Jewish people will call on the name of the Lord, and he will answer them. He will say, "They are my people." They will say, "The Lord is our God." So, what is this name they call upon? It cannot be the name Yahavah, or YHVH, Yod Heh Vav Heh, because the Jewish people will not even pronounce that name. So what name do they call upon? Well, if you are speaking Hebrew and you cry out for deliverance, what do you say? Yehoshua, Lord, save us! Or the abbreviated form, Yeshua, save us now! So when the nations of the world converge on Jerusalem someday, and the Jewish people cry out for deliverance, they will literally be calling on the name of the Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach. And Zechariah says he will answer them. That's when Jesus himself said the leaders of Israel will see him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And when they realize it's him, it's Jesus, it says they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. It says they will look upon him whom they have pierced. They will realize as a nation for the first time that they crucified their Messiah. Now, if you can just put on your Jewish thinking cap for a minute and think Jewish with me. The Jewish people had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah for thousands of years, ever since God gave the first messianic prophecy in the Garden of Eden. In every generation, it was the hope and dream of every young woman that she would be the mother of the Messiah. That is why they call the Messiah the desire of women. Because every woman, beginning with Eve, wanted to be the one to give birth to this great deliverer. This had gone on for literally hundreds of generations, at least 4,000 years. Then finally, after all of those years, the Messiah comes. He fulfills the prophecies. And what does Israel do? She doesn't even recognize him. Not only that, but her leaders collaborate with the Romans, with the civil authorities, to have him killed. But after 2,000 years of denial and rationalization and reinterpreting the scriptures and ignoring the prophecies, they will finally say, "Yes, we did it. We killed him too. We are just as guilty as the Romans were. It may as well have been Jewish hands that held those spikes in place, and it may as well have been Jewish hands that hammered them through his wrists and his feet." You say, "Gary, surely they must know what they did." No, they really do not. At least, not yet. You see, the Bible tells us that Israel has been corporately blinded as a judicial act of God. And one reason God blinded his people Israel was so that the gospel could be taken to the Gentiles, so that you could have the gospel, my friend, so that I could have the gospel. So no, they really do not know. Most of them really don't have a clue. You say, but wait a minute, I know somebody who's Jewish and he believes in Jesus. Yes, of course. There are many Jewish believers today, more than at any other time since the first century. They are the remnant, but they are not the nation. National Israel collectively is still in unbelief. National Israel is still blinded to the truth of the gospel. The Jewish nation as a whole still categorically denies that Yeshua of Nazareth was and is the Messiah of Israel. But one day, that will change. Well, that's all of our time for today. And that is El Yeshuati, which means God is my salvation. And you know what? He can be your salvation, too. If you don't know the Lord and you need help, why don't you write to us? We have counselors here who'd be happy to correspond with you. And we've got a wonderful little brochure called L'chaim. It means to life. And this little booklet explains the plan of salvation very simply from a messianic perspective, complete with diagrams and charts. If you would like one, just drop us a line. I think you'll find it very helpful. All right, until next time, this is Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. We've been listening to Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher, here on Messianic Perspectives. If you're enjoying Dr. Hedrick's presentation on the Hebrew names of God, you'll be glad to know that we've placed this entire series on 3 compact discs. The set is available for your gift of just $18 or more to help us keep this program on your station. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on the Hebrew names of God, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.